T.C. Hill is not a doctor and does not claim to be a doctor licensed in any type of medical field. Don't be an idiot and use anything heard on the show as medical advice. This information should be used for educational purposes only, and you should contact your doctor for any medical advice. Now get off me. Welcome to Kick It Naturally. I'm Kenna McEnroe, and I'm here with T.C. Hale, author, natural health expert, producer, brother from another mother.
Ken is a genius. Episode number 3. That's what we're doing today. We're following Ken's great idea. We're digging into specific imbalances and again talking about them more than we usually do, so people don't have to be like, "Now what?"
I have to go read this whole book to find out about this imbalance.
Forget it.
I can't be bothered.
Yeah, that's too much work. And that other voice you're hearing over there is Hottie Patati Will Smith.
Hi.
Fitness trainer to the stars.
How's it going?
I'm going to get that list someday. I want to know who you train.
Well, let's just say it's a Supreme list.
Oh, well then how come I'm not on it?
Were you in the Supremes?
Maybe. Well, there you go. Okay. There you go. So today we're going to be talking about the anabolic imbalance. And if you don't know what that is, go read his book. So, and if you haven't liked us on Facebook yet, what is the holdup? You need to go to Kick It in the Nuts, like us there, because that's where we're going to post all the future shows that we're going to be talking about. You guys can post any questions you have about the topic, or you can even give us show ideas, because you know what? We're running out of ailments, people. We're running out of ailments.
I want to do a show on puzzles.
I know you do.
I like puzzles.
Yeah.
Or Rubik's Cubes. That'd have you seen cool. people solve those now? It's like
blindfolded
insane.
Yeah. And behind
in
their
like
back
3 seconds, blindfolded.
Wow, that's crazy. Or those crazy, or those eight balls. I'm going to do a show on eight balls.
Yeah,
the
bet
one
you
where
can.
You ask the question. Right. Ah, the one where you ask the question and you get your prophecy told. Okay. Or your whatever it is.
Okay. Please ask again later.
Yeah. So remember when we didn't have a sponsor? Well, that was silly. So now Audible.com is giving all of our listeners a free audiobook of their choice just because we say Audible.com. Audible.com. To find the link, go to kickitinthenuts.com/audiobook. That's where you can, you know, get Tony's book and somebody can read it to you in a nice soothing voice.
I wonder if the 7 people that listen to our show, if they hear someone say Audible, if they automatically go audible.com.
They're all in on it.
Those are the true diehards.
Right.
Our good 7 listeners.
Yep.
Well, if 7 people would tell 7 other people, we'd have 14, and then it would like multiply. So
well, we need to do it 6 times for us to have a hair conditioning commercial.
All right. Well,
however that goes.
Okay, so what is an anabolic imbalance?
I do not know. Next topic.
Okay, moving on.
I don't know. Why don't we have Will explain it to us? So here's what we'll do, Will, is we'll look at the structural semblance of an anabolic imbalance and talk about it at the cellular level, and then we'll just talk about other things that we may understand about it now and stuff like that.
Yeah, first of all, like, it means a whole lot of things on a whole lot of levels. And you can have some traits of being too anabolic while still having some other markers that may look more catabolic. And
catabolic is the other side of the spectrum.
So it can take some like sorting out to figure out exactly where you are on the spectrum. And it's also important to know that the anabolic state is not necessarily a bad state.
I think that's important for people to get,
yeah,
is that both the anabolic and the catabolic state are both appropriate states. We want to be in both of those states every day, and that's what we should be. So the problem happens if someone's really stuck far in one state and then hardly ever get over to the other one.
Yeah, just like with blood pressure, there's like natural variation of where that may be. There's markers you can check to see, like, is your blood pressure in a healthy range? There's also markers you can check to see if you're too catabolic or too anabolic. And during the daylight hours, it's appropriate to be leaning a little bit more catabolic in all those markers. And then during the evening hours, after the sun goes down, the body should transition into what we're going to talk about today, the anabolic state. And so your self-test scores, if you're doing any self-tests to look at those markers, should shift to be a little bit more anabolic. But even still, no matter what time of day, there's like certain measurements that if they show up, they're just way too anabolic.
No matter what, all day.
Yeah, that's just way wrong. Even at night, like, it's still way anabolic. Like, beyond. Right. Like, if your urine pH is, like, at 7 or higher, like, that's too high. Doesn't matter
you're
if it's
you're just showing off.
Yeah, you're just an anabolic freak. So those measurements, like, don't let it get confuse you. Like, yeah, you're supposed to be more anabolic in the evening, which is sort of part of the, we can just refer to as part of the circadian rhythm. Your body's in the catabolic state. It's more of a wakeful state during the day where your cells are oxidizing more, producing more energy. There's more tissue breakdown occurring, just like a car whose engine is on and driving around. And then the anabolic state is more of the resting, restorative, recuperative, regenerative growth kind of phase that the body should switch into. And it's more like a car getting maintenance or at the gas station filling up. So it's appropriate to be in that state in the evening. But if you have certain markers that you're just always anabolic, it's going to cause some really, really big problems at the cellular level and at the whole systemic level.
Right, and being overly catabolic is not even better. And we're going to get into that one a whole bunch next week. But that's the main point is here is that your goal is to have balance. And your goal is to be able to switch back and forth between the two. So before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about the cellular makeup and how it differs from state to state.
More smart talk.
Yeah. Oh. So, and there's a lot of, like, controversy and talk about, like, the cell membrane and what it's made up and how it works and the idea that there's pumps versus the idea that it has a lot more to do with, like, electroosmolarity and cell and the
permeability.
Yeah, the permeability of, like, what's causing the things inside the cell and outside the cell to flow in and out. And that's a big, there's a big topics of debate that it was taught for a long time that the cell membranes had all these pumps, right? Right. And all these pumps would, like, if they were actually real, would actually take up 15 times as much energy as the right. cells actually
when
have.
When they realize, oh, for this to be true, there needs to be 7,000 different pumps.
Right, there's this membrane
on each cell.
And then they started making up new pumps for new drugs that were created for these new receptors for, like, morphine or whatever. So the idea of membrane pumps is pretty ridiculous, although it still maybe be taught into your high school
who
students.
Knows, yeah. Right?
But basically what's good to know, in, like, in an anabolic state, there's a change in the sort of the flow of stuff from going from outside the cell to inside the cell. And how we've talked about it before is the anabolic state is where the membrane is less permeable, or you could talk about it like the proteins and inner contents of the cell being less affinitive, less welcoming of things coming into it from the outside is another way to think of it, both with the same effect of there's less stuff getting into the cell.
And out, right.
Yeah, and less stuff leaving the cell. So there's less exchange between the external and internal environment of the cell and the extracellular space when you're in an anabolic imbalance. So a problem that goes along with that is in an anabolic state, there's not enough oxygen reaching the inside of the cell. And so the cell still has to make energy, but it does it in this dirty way where there's extra lactic acid being produced in a process called anaerobic fermentation. And there's lots of problems that go along with that, like cancer as well as energy deprivation.
And it's fine for that to happen for short periods of the day or from time to time. That's kind of what the system was built. It was built to make energy that way when needed. But when it's making it that way all the time, then we see problems.
Yeah.
And one interesting thing to talk about, because we cover this a lot in the book, but it's nice just to help people to understand that, well, yes, this is it, but it's not only it, is that we look at the cell structure as being made up of fatty acids and sterols. And it appears that in an overly anabolic state, that there's more sterols than fatty acids that are actively keeping that cell more or less permeable, more closed. And so the thought is, well, if there's not enough fatty acids, then we can add more fatty acids and that helps the cell open up more and move more in that catabolic state. And this is true, but it doesn't seem to be enough. Like, it's not enough just to increase more of one type of fat to fix a major anabolic or major catabolic imbalance. Even though it can be a good step, it's just, I don't know, not enough. So we do see that.
So to clarify a couple of things about maybe how the anabolic state can look, if you're doing any of the self-tests that we talk about in our free digestive issues course at kickinthenuts.com, you may see like a high urine pH. If you test your urine with a pH test paper and it's like over 6.5, that's one indicator of being too anabolic. Another one is if you use those fancy urine dipstick parameters.
11 parameter
urinalysis dipsticks. And you look at your urine specific gravity, if it's very low, like if it's under 15, it's around like 5 or 0 on that specific gravity marker, that's another indication that you may be too anabolic. And with that, you'll start to see more symptoms that go along with being too anabolic, like constipation, anxiety, viral problems like colds and flus, or if you get cold sores, that kind of thing. What else?
Hard to wake up in the morning, like you want to hit the snooze button, because at the cellular level, your body's still kind of asleep. And keep in mind that a lot of these symptoms can be caused by more than one thing. You know, anxiety can be caused by other issues beyond just an anabolic imbalance, but it's just very common in an anabolic imbalance.
Depression?
Depression can be, but it's not necessarily directly caused by an anabolic imbalance, but a lot of people that are anabolic have that high urine pH and that overpowering insulin, where when they eat sugars and carbs, they get that crash, and if mineral levels are already low, then the sugars going low too are going to create, you know, that depression or even bipolar issues. So in a roundabout way, yeah, that anabolic imbalance could have contributed to that for sure.
You also miss out on a good amount of natural endorphins if your body isn't swinging back and forth from the catabolic to anabolic state. So that, in combination with like the hypoglycemia that Tony was just talking about, people burning through their sugar really quickly, both of those things could contribute to being depressed. And also, it's not fun to wake up and still feel like you need to sleep more. Mm-hmm. Like I've seen like friends from high school, I've gone back like 10 years later, and they're doing like all these anabolic steroids. I bump into them at the gym, and they're huge, but they're like yawning in the middle of their workout. It's like noon, and they're just like, look like they just rolled out of bed, because their body's just so in that resting, rebuilding state that they're never really on during the day. It's like someone who's not burning the candle at either end.
Right, there's no candle. Candles are fun.
Mm. Yeah.
Candles and puzzles.
We should do that episode.
You know what else is common in an anabolic imbalance is seeing a high pulse when you're looking at your blood pressure. If you have a monitor at home, you can check it whenever. So if you're having a symptom that tends to go along with an anabolic imbalance, it's nice just to check your blood pressure and look and see, you know, is your pulse real high?
But that, what you were saying about the pulse racing and stuff like that, that makes perfect sense, because I'm anabolic, I have low blood pressure, really low blood pressure, but then sometimes my heart will just start racing and I can just feel it pumping through my chest thinking, what the heck?
Well, you're around me a lot.
That's true. So that raises my pulse level. And
during the shows, you sit right by Will, so it's not always about science.
Yeah,
that's right. The other things that can contribute to this anabolic state is, like, if you're affecting your hormones in any powerful way, which is really easy to do on accident these days, if you're eating foods or types of proteins or taking medications or birth control that are raising your estrogen levels really high, it can easily push you into an anabolic imbalance.
Yeah, and so let's talk a little bit about, let's go into some questions, because I think we have some questions that hit these topics, and then we'll pretend like we're just answering their question, like we didn't want to talk about that anyway.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Well, if you'd like to learn how to become a health coach or even just dig into more advanced teachings for yourself or your family, go to healthprocourse.com to learn about Tony and Will's course for coaches. Registration for this course only opens to the public for about a week at a time, so be sure to register for the coach newsletter so you'll be notified when the next registration opens. You'll find more info at healthprocourse.com.
Pretty soon there's going to be a course. It's good times.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, let's do questions.
Good. Okay. So, Kenna, that's me, y'all, or somebody else named Kenna in Los Angeles, California. How do we get stuck in one? Talking about an anabolic imbalance.
So there are, you know, different factors that can make someone stuck in one state. But it seems like it's most common because a person might not have the resources or vitality to be able to switch back and forth like they're supposed to. Like, that switching takes resources to do that. And so if a person has low resources, the body's like, I'm here, I ain't going nowhere.
And what happened to that switching? I mean, like, okay, the egg before the chicken or the chicken. So how did that switching become? You don't know?
It could be that the switching caused problems with, you know, resources coming in. But more likely it's that the low resources affected the ability to switch back and forth. Because a lot of people that they'll kind of get stuck in this anabolic state and they'll really get constipated for like 3 or 4 days, and the body says, well, this isn't going to work, so we're going to switch. And then they switch over, and then they have diarrhea for 3 or 4 days while they're stuck in that state all the way. So that can sometimes be a case, but it's just an example of it can take energy to move, and if a body doesn't have a lot of resources, it can just get stuck for days at a time or longer.
But did it happen over time, like what we were doing with our lifestyle, that we didn't have the resources, or was it because we were born like with a deficiency?
There's probably too many acting classes. That's probably usually what does it.
Yeah, I mean, it could be like an imbalance in your diet, or it could have been like you're trying to be too skinny. You ruin your digestion, and then your body can't absorb resources, and you just don't have the things you need to function correctly metabolically. There can also be imbalances just in your diet. Like, if you eat like a lot of flesh foods and dairy that's pumped full of all of these hormones that push you into like a high estrogen state, it can really get in the way of the way that your cells make energy. It can screw up their ability to perform just regular oxidation, and they'll start to produce lactic acid once like there's enough hormonal imbalance and like problems with your regular thyroid function and your regular cellular respiration, where that will just be the way that the cells have to try to make energy in this lactic acid anaerobic fermentation way, which is one of the, like, I think that was the term that one of our favorite thinkers, Ravici, actually used instead of anabolic. I think he called it dysaerobic, which meant like no oxygen in the cells. So whether we're looking at that anabolic rebuilding over like imbalance that like an anabolic steroid user might get, or just someone who isn't getting oxygen into their cells, there's a lot of like, there is a lot of direct crossover and carryover of what that meaning is.
So somebody with sleep apnea or that snores or something is also like maybe...
That usually is more to do with the bloodstream leaning to alkaline, or they have a structural problem with a flap that doesn't work right. But oxygen can be involved in that, but it's usually not an overly anabolic situation with sleep apnea. But here's something that I see a lot, and this is not a fact. We should get a special sound effect for this is not a fact. we'll just play it through the whole show. Okay, but what I see is most of the people who are leaning more anabolic, I think it has a lot to do with carbs and sugars, almost in both directions, but for different reasons. And here's what I think. Carbohydrates and sugar are very pro-anabolic. Like, we know that. We know, like, a lot of bodybuilders will go straight for the carbs after a big workout when they're trying to become massive. And a lot of these people who have lost vitality and maybe leaning a little anabolic and not really good at switching back and forth, they also tend to gravitate towards eating more carbohydrates and sugars since they can't break down proteins and emulsify fats correctly. So when we see people that are overly anabolic and you have them write down, you know, what they ate, a lot of times it's, well, I had granola and then I had a banana and then I had some pasta with rice. And, you know, it's just, you look at what they're eating and it's like just this whole sugar rush the whole day long, every day. And I think that it's the sugar and carbs are more powerfully pushing someone anabolic than other steps they may be taking to push them in the other direction. And that just seems to be the case until it's not. And I think what happens when it's not, because, you know, when we see people that are insulin resistant, they're almost always very catabolic. And it kind of makes you think that the high insulin levels that are creating all that inflammation are kind of pushing the body into that catabolic break everything down, inflamed state.
Like no diet is right for every person, then, you know, these are all unto each person individually, case by case.
Sure.
You might have became this way because of a certain reason, blah, 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 and vice versa.
And you could spend years digging into why you got there.
It doesn't even really matter,
but
I guess.
Yeah, it kind of doesn't. I mean, you don't need to live in the past. Just start taking the steps to get yourself out of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's yet another thing.
So the steps are still the same?
Depending on where you are.
Yeah, okay.
You want to see, like, where are you now? Mm-hmm. And what is it there to do to fix what's happening now?
So taking that 4-week digestion course would really
be beneficial.
It's a
good start for most people.
Yeah. It's free, people.
And, you know, when you look at your blood pressure and it's 90 over 60, you have that indication of, oh, resources are not high. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense if it's hard for me to switch back and forth. You know, if your blood pressure is really high, then maybe it's not the inability to switch back and forth. It's just other factors pushing you in that direction.
But you could be an anabolic with high blood pressure?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought that was one of the things about it.
The state in itself actually would dictate that blood pressure would be higher, but we just almost never see that. Mm-hmm. It just kind of turns out that most anabolic people are low mineral and low blood pressure and having a hard time digesting food. That's just kind of the picture we normally see, but they're not, you know, there's not reasons. It doesn't have to be that way.
It's not a fact.
Yeah, non-fact noise, sound effect. But it should be like wah, wah. Uh-huh.
And the four listeners just turned off. Uh-huh.
But, you know, what's interesting with someone who's super anabolic is that when you help them fix digestion so that they can eat proteins and not feel like they have a rock in their stomach and they can eat fats without having to feel nauseous, when you can help them reduce carbohydrates in that way, they start to move out of that anabolic imbalance pretty quickly. Like a lot of times, like even with Kenna, we use supplements to move her out of that imbalance. But at times when she's reducing carbohydrates a lot, she'll go really catabolic and be like, oh, yeah, we don't need these supplements so much. Like, we learned that a couple of times with you.
Oh, yeah, that, I just spent all this money. We don't need these anymore.
Yeah. Then poop them out and send and return them. Mm-hmm. So as much as the cellular makeup kind of dictates, hey, we should use, you know, fatty acids to fix this anabolic imbalance, affecting the carbs is a big deal, moving those. And then also using the right vitamins and mineral compounds can really be important too. It seems like that just using one aspect is not enough to fix a major imbalance. But if you do all those things, it can really be helpful. Do you have anything to add to all that carb stuff with the anabolic imbalance, Will? Hottie patati, Schmidt?
I think that, yeah, you're right. Like, we do see a really powerful pro-anabolic effect from carbohydrates, and there's lots of talk. We should do an episode soon just on carbohydrates, like to get into the nuances of the effects of all the different
that
kinds.
That would be great.
You know, glucose and fructose and sucrose, right? But then you can know we're not going to badmouth them all, but just learning like which kinds of carbs might be most appropriate for which kind of person could be really good. But in general, like, there can be a lot of things that affect your body's ability to use carbohydrates in a balanced way. Like the strength of your insulin, the responsiveness of your cells to that insulin. But a good thing to know if you are in an overly anabolic state, like you're getting sick and cold and flus all the time or cold sores and things like that, we see like it's generally really useful to try to cut down on carbohydrates a good degree and use some other things that can help drive calcium back into the tissues like lysine and cold-pressed olive oil to help push your body to be in a more catabolic state while avoiding a lot of sugars and starches that will keep pulling calcium out of your tissues and keep you stuck in that anabolic imbalance.
Yeah, and you know, another thing that kind of confirms this thought is that when we talk about ketogenic diets, we see that they tend to be pro-catabolic. And that also might be why they're so effective for a lot of those issues like PCOS. You know, you hear about a lot of people fixing PCOS with a ketogenic diet. And we know that PCOS is a situation that tends to happen with people that are very overly anabolic. So when you start looking at both sides kind of confirm that something seems to be on track, it kind of helps view things as being on track. And I think someone had a ketogenic diet question in the catabolic episode next week, so we'll get into more in that more next week.
All right, Cindy, why is salmon good for an anabolic imbalance?
It would be because of the fatty acids in it are pro-catabolic. So certain meats, like non-ruminant animals, meaning animals with less than one stomach, or just one stomach, not less than one stomach, they don't process like the plants that they consume as much, so they end up with more of the fatty acids from those plants in their tissues. And fish are the most exemplary.
And salmon more than some of the other fish.
Yeah, the oilier fish. Like, they have the most fatty acids, which makes them the worst choice for someone who's too catabolic. But if you're going to try to use fatty acids to push yourself out of a really powerful anabolic state, those oils could help do that. There may be better results potentially that come from using like amino acids and different types of protein, but fatty acids definitely do have a pro-catabolic effect. So if you're really in an anabolic state, those fatty acids can be powerful tools.
Amber from Clare, Michigan. I'm anabolic. I hate being anabolic. All my issues go back to anabolic. I've been told by a physiologist that I have more natural strength for a woman than the norm. I throw in Highland Games and lift weights. I bulk up fast. Will being catabolic help me not resemble the Hulk?
The Hulk pulls chicks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you like chicks, Amber, then
you're golden.
I don't think she does.
She likes
Kenna. She's married. Oh, she does like me. But who doesn't?
Right. That's what I'm saying.
But yeah, anabolic individuals do tend to have, like, not always, but often have more muscular frames. I definitely see a hard time for strongly catabolic people putting on muscle like that.
Right. And think about what, you know, the great example is someone using anabolic steroids, where they're using this steroid to shove them into that overly anabolic state all the time so that the body's always in that building muscle mode. So helping someone move out of an anabolic state is a great way to reduce the amount of muscle that they're building.
So guys want to be anabolic, chicks want to be catabolic. Is that what I'm hearing, guys?
Well, they want the frames the that balance. Reflect that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really a bad idea to try to just, well, I'm just going to be catabolic for a few months.
You should tell girls that you'll also age faster.
Yeah.
So that'll slow it down.
Right, or if you're too anabolic, you'll get like viruses and stuff that are not fun, and then
herpes is not fun, y'all.
So there's bad sides to both. So what guys and girls want to do is just be balanced.
Oh, there
they
you
really
go.
Want to be.
That word keeps coming back in my
cool
life.
Kids. Mm-hmm. Balanced.
Wow.
So that's kind of what we're looking at with an anabolic state, and you know, a lot of people have been pushing themselves in the wrong direction for decades. So you can't expect to fix it in a couple of weeks. Well, I took that vitamin C. What? It didn't work.
Yeah.
You know, what's the problem?
Yeah, there's, like we say, it's a complex thing of, like, is your body in, like, a building mode or a breakdown mode? There's a lot of things that contribute to that, like the amount of stress and nutrients and the strength of your digestion and frequency of your meals and amount of your workouts and amount of sleep you get. Like, all those things matter. So just, like, taking, like, a single supplement might not shift the paradigm for your body in correcting one or the other imbalance. So you've got to look at like the full picture of what's going on for you.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, it can be overwhelming sometimes when you think about everything you've got to look at, like your diet, your sups, your water, your this,
but,
your that.
You know, if you think about it, like say, I don't know if you've ever been a farmer. You ever been a farmer?
Actually, I am a farmer, but I've never farmed.
Really?
But I have
your
a
heritage?
Farm.
She played a farmer in a short
yeah,
one.
Exactly.
All right.
Movie. Yeah.
Well, you know how hard farming is?
Probably pretty hard.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into making a healthy crop without the use of pesticides. Like, you got to learn, like, all these things to make that happen. And if you look at your body the same way, like, wow, this is really complicated. And I'm sorry that we live in a modern world where it's not just like our foods that our body's used to and free of pollution, but there is a lot of work that needs to be done in learning how our body works and sifting through all the misinformation. And then once you figure out what's right for you, it takes time to like grow a healthy crop. So like doing the right thing consistently for a period of time, and you can start
and keeping on testing, because like you said, I can switch over to catabolic and then I'm doing all the wrong things. Yeah. Then. So just being aware of your self-test and where you stand and checking in.
Right. Especially when you're trying to push yourself out of an imbalance like this, or any of the imbalances, really, you don't want to push too far, which is easy to do if you're like me, like gung ho, like, oh yeah, let's just take all, it's like 10 times as much supplements as he said to or whatever. You'll go too far and you'll get the opposite problems.
So, you know, and that's kind of what's really different about what we do. And so when you get overwhelmed about information, you know, one thing that can help is to think about the fact that nobody understands everything. Like, we as a society do not understand how the human body actually works. Like, we do not have it down. Every time we think we know, we bust something open and all this other stuff comes out. So the first thing to grasp is that we don't know everything. So all we can do is do the best we can with what we have. Like, Will and I, we both suck. Like, all we do is this stuff. Like, we don't do anything that's fun.
I've been trying to tell him this for years.
But, like this is all we do. Like, we love this. And we still, we don't hardly know anything.
And they're really good at it, people. So y'all need to listen.
Right. So, but the point is that there's always going to be more to learn. We're never going to have all the answers. And so for someone whose main job is like accounting, for them to grasp all this, it's going to take some time. So don't feel overwhelmed. You do what you understand.
Try to make it fun. Because what'll happen
is someone will see that, I do feel kind of lousy. And my blood pressure is low. I added some sea salt and hey, I feel a little better, you know, so people can do simple things like that and do enough to get a result where they get excited and want to learn more. And so that's all you have to do, is just do the best you can with what you have, and you'll be fine.
Yeah. I feel like for people listening to this, like, it's one thing to like learn to understand like what is this complex thing we're talking about called the anabolic state, and then there's a whole other thing like what to do about it. But I'd like to try to do like a little summary like thing of about what it is and what generally to do.
Ready, break.
Okay. With the proviso, like, there's instruction reiterated if you go to any of Tony's books. Should look up what are the tips for the anabolic imbalance, and the summaries there. You can go to Kick in the Nuts and type in the search box anabolic also, and you'll find other notes about this. But in general, if you're too anabolic, the way you can figure that out is through doing some different self-tests, like test your urine pH. If it's very high, like over 6.5, that's a good indicator that you're too anabolic. If you use our fancy like 11 parameter urinalysis dipsticks, if your urine specific gravity is very low, like if it's under 15, it's close to like 10 or 5 or 0, that's another indicator. And if your pulse is very high, like over, would you say 85?
Over 80-ish, you know.
Yeah, so if you get a blood pressure cuff or a pulse oximeter, you can measure your pulse. And if you're just sitting around and it's like up around 90 or 100, that's another indicator that you may be too anabolic. And then other symptomatic things you might feel, like if you're constipated a lot, you have to wake up at night to pee a lot, that's a sign that most of your water is going out through your kidneys and not enough through your colon.
And that's probably the most common one, are the people that were like, oh, I pooped a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
You know, those people usually have a severe issue. And there can be other HCL issues that contribute to that, but an overly anabolic state seems to be the most common.
Yeah, and that can be a big thing too. Like, I've had clients take a bunch of HCL and still be constipated because all their water was still going out their kidneys. So if you're tending towards constipation, and then other symptoms that you might be experiencing, like if you get colds or flus a lot, if you get like cold sores, and then certain types of cancer also can be overly anabolic. So all those things are kind
Did
of ways.
You mentioned anxiety.
Oh yeah,
that's a big one.
Yeah, so anxiety resultant from the excess lactic acid in the blood, from the problems that your cells are having making energy. Like, all those things can help you detect, all right, yeah, I may be in this anabolic state. And then generally the useful things to do in that are to reduce the amount of carbohydrates that you're eating, especially starches like glucose, like rich foods like potatoes and white rice and breads. And like, starches are, we were mistakenly thought to be like slower burning carbs, but they're actually not. They're very pro-anabolic and will spike and drop your blood sugar. And that pulls calcium out of the tissues and makes things worse. So you want to try to avoid high glycemic food, carbohydrates like that, as well as things that may be really impacting your hormonal state, like if you're taking like birth control or something that's really boosting estrogen levels.
Doing some kind of hormone cream.
Or taking steroids. Like those are totally, or drinking like milk that's full of like hormones and things like that. Those kind of non-organic, non-grass-fed meats that have been pumped full of hormones can push you to be way
too. So if you're buying milk at the 7-Eleven and eating one of those triangle sandwiches every day, you're doing some wrong steps.
Yeah. The way that like a lot of animals that aren't grass-fed and pasture-raised are made is they're made to grow as fast as they can. So they're injected with all these anabolic steroids that cause their flesh to swell and retain more water. And they're super pro-anabolic, and those hormones carry right over to you, and they'll cause all sorts of problems. So if you're eating those kind of foods in general, it's good to cut those out and try to have more like pasture-raised, hormone-free foods, especially foods that are rich in gelatin or collagen and other amino acids like lysine and even magnesium as a mineral can be a useful tool to help push you more catabolic.
Right. I have two things to say, and I think I'm going to remember one of them. And the first one is that don't judge whether you're anabolic or not by symptoms. The symptoms are just one piece of information, and they're not enough to dictate, oh, I do have this imbalance and I should take these steps, because most of these symptoms can be caused by other issues too. So you can only use symptoms as a piece of information, but the numbers to self-test are what are more important. And the second thing was, do you remember what it was, Kenna?
Oh, yeah. Kenna's really cool.
Yeah. The second thing was that Kenna's really cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for that.
Yeah, but that's really good about the symptoms, because I have symptoms of both. I have symptoms of being anabolic, too anabolic, and too catabolic.
You're just selfish, and you want all the symptoms.
I'm an anomaly. I'm just like a freak show.
The second thing that I wanted to talk about, though, was important. That's all I got.
You write it down. You write everything down.
I really do. I really do. I was mesmerized by Will's liberating things.
Liberating.
Not the summary. The summary. I thought
that
was pretty.
That's what we were really mesmerized.
You were liberating enthralled. Information, that's... and I forgot it. But you were talking about steps to take. I don't know. Maybe it was something about a pony.
No,
you didn't mention a pony.
No ponies.
He was talking about symptoms, self tests, things that you know. Your higher urine, your gravity, specific gravity, dipstick, 11 parameter. Yeah.
So one show she pays attention, and I forgot what I was going to say.
Exactly. One show I don't fall asleep on.
Okay, so this is just one side of the coin, and we'll talk about the catabolic side of the coin next week. And maybe I'll remember what that thing was by next week.
Yeah, that's
and then you'll have to listen to that episode, too, just to find out what it was.
You did that just to make
a
cliffhanger.
This is a to be continued. All right, there you go. Cliffhanger.
Okay.
All right. So if you want to learn more about how to look at your own body chemistry, you can read any of Tony's books or take the free 4-week digestion course at kickitinthenuts.com. You can also head on over to Will Schmidt's mybodyofknowledge.net or his Facebook page, My Body of Knowledge. He's got a lot of great stuff there and a blog and all kinds of great exercises. And go to healthprocourse.com to learn more about how to become a health coach. Until next week, check your numbers.
Bye-bye.
Bye.